I want us just to consider a couple of verses in 1 Peter this evening. Just turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm just going to read verses 6 and 7, just for a brief meditation. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I want us just to think about that verse there, 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That word casting there, it's a word that, as you can probably imagine, it means to throw something. It means to cast something. Luke chapter 19, you find the word used there. It's used of the people in the crowd when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and it says that they threw or they cast, it's the same word, their clothes onto the colt, and they set Jesus on him. So it's a word that can be used in that context. It can also be used in fishing as well, the way that you would cast a net onto the water. The net in those days would be weighed down with stones around the edge so that net would sink right to the bottom. And so it could be quite a heavy thing to cast out. And that's what Peter is saying here. That's what we're to do with cares and worries and anxieties that are heavy and weighing you down and feel like they're going to sink you to the bottom without trace. Well, Peter here says this is what you need to do. You need to cast them. You need to throw them. Cast them. Where do you throw them? Well, he tells us here you're to cast them onto the Lord, onto his broad shoulders. It's too much for you. It's too heavy for you. You think you can carry this on your own, but you can't. That's why it's connected there to humility. Did you notice that in verse 6? Verse 7 is connected to verse 6. Some versions, I think it's the NIV, has verse 7 as a new sentence. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, for in due time he will exalt you, full stop, period. Cast all your cares upon him. But actually, the word cast there, it's what they call a participle, which means it's connected. It's part of verse 6. So it should read, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God by casting all of your anxiety on him. So it's actually connected to humility. This is a part of humility. It's recognizing I can't carry this on my own. This is too much for me. I can't bear this. I'm not strong enough to carry this. It's too heavy, too much. I can't cope. You men, perhaps you've been in the situation, maybe you've been down in the basement or something like that, and you've got an air conditioning unit and you're staggering up the stairs and you can feel a couple of discs in the lower back about to explode. And then someone says, you need a hand with that. No, I got it. I'm fine. I can carry it. It's too much for you. You can't carry it. But, you know, spiritually we can be like that. Some trial or some burden, some heavy load comes into our lives and we need help. We really do. We need God's big, strong arms. We need his mighty hand to help us. But are we willing to turn to him and to seek his help? Very often we just try and wrestle on our own, don't we? In our pride, taking all of that weight on our own shoulders. No, I don't need help. I don't need to share this with anyone in the church. I don't need to tell anybody to pray about this. I got this. I'm all set. I can do this. Peter here is saying, no, don't think like that. That's pride. That's self-confidence. It's foolish to think like that. You can't carry. It's too much for you. You're going to cripple yourself staggering around with that. You need to offload it. You need to bring it to the Lord. You need to cast it onto his big, broad shoulders. He can manage it. It's no problem for him. He can handle it. He will. That's what Peter says here. Cast it upon him. He cares for you. The reference there is Psalm 55. Psalm 55 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Cast your burden on him. He will sustain you. He will uphold you. He won't allow his righteous people to be forsaken. He loves and cares for his own. He does. About everything, you know, every aspect of our lives. Sometimes we can mistakenly think that God is just interested in the big things going on in the world, the things affecting kings and governments and nations and wars and all those things going on in Russia and Ukraine. God's really only interested in that and not really concerned about the small things in my life. He's in control of all of those big things, but he is also very, very interested in the small things in your life as well. God is not far from any one of us. That's what the Bible says. He's concerned about us. He cares for us. You know, think about Peter, the one who's writing these words. He knew all about that, didn't he? Yeah, he was there that afternoon when Jesus preached that sermon to the disciples on this very subject, when Jesus was reminding them and saying, well, you know, look at the lilies. I mean, take them as an example. Look at them. Not even Solomon, in all his glory, was clothed like one of them. Here today, and then they're cast into the furnace. Are you not of more value than they? Or look at the birds. They're not flying around all vexed and stressed. They're not storing in or gathering to storehouses. They know that Heavenly Father cares and provides for them. And are you not of more importance than the birds of the air? Of course you are. Your Heavenly Father cares about them, and so of course he cares about you. He'll take care of you. He'll help you in all the details of your life, in the big things, and he'll help you with the small things as well. Peter heard that sermon. He was there that afternoon. And not only did he hear those words, but he also saw Jesus practicing that sermon in Peter's own life. He saw how the Lord Jesus cared for him and helped him, Peter, in the big things and in the small things of his life. He saw how the Lord helped him with those big things, didn't he, when his mother-in-law was desperately sick at home, and how Jesus came round and he laid his hand upon her and he raised her up from that sick bed. Peter saw that. And when Peter himself was sinking beneath the waves and felt like he was about to drown any moment, and cried, Lord, help me, Lord, save me, and the Lord reached out his hand and saved Peter in that crisis moment in his life. He remembered that. Or what about that time when, do you remember when Peter impulsively sliced off the ear of the high priest's servant? That was such a foolish thing to do. The soldiers could have taken Peter there, thrown him into prison and thrown away the key for something like that. But Jesus intervened. In that huge critical moment in Peter's life, he intervened and he healed the injury there. He was there. He helped him over and over again in the big things in his life, but also, you know, relatively the small things as well. When Peter had spent all night out there in that boat, and it came to the early hours of the morning, and he lamented, oh Lord, we've toiled all night, we've caught nothing. And Jesus said, well, why don't you just try throwing the net over that side? Try it over there instead. Let's see what happens. And he pulls in more fish than he's ever seen in his life. Or his tax. He needed some money to pay his temple tax. I mean, compared to those other things, that's a relatively small thing, isn't it? But Jesus summons that fish from the bottom of the ocean to bring him a coin to pay his tax. In all of these ways, you see, Jesus helped him and showed that he cared for him. Peter knew that he'd experienced that firsthand in his own life. And so here he's saying to his readers, he cares for you. He does. He cares for you. The big things in your life, that surgery coming up, or your husband's job situation, moving away to college, those big things in your life, he will help you with those things, as well as the smaller things as well. You know, you lose a door key. Help me. Have you never prayed that? Lord, I've lost my keys. Can you help me? Hasn't he answered those prayers so many times? Or a car breakdown on the side of the road. Lord, help me. Or the algebra exam at school tomorrow. Please, Lord, would you help me? He'll help you. He cares about those things. Especially for his suffering people. You know, the context of this letter, Peter's writing to a people who are about to go through intense suffering. They're about to experience a fiery trial, which is to try you. That's how Peter talks about it at the beginning of the book. And so maybe in that situation, they might be tempted to think, has the Lord forgotten us? Has the Lord abandoned us? Peter's saying here, no, he hasn't. He's there. He cares for you. Even in those very trying situations, he will surround his people with evidences and tokens of his loving kindness. I came across a story one time about Spurgeon's wife, Susanna Spurgeon, and she was a woman who suffered very greatly with her health. She was housebound, bedridden, a lot of the time, and so she couldn't accompany him on some of his travels away, his preaching engagements. And before he would go away, he would say to her very often, he said, "Is there anything I can get you while I'm away, wifey?" And she was a very contented woman. She would say, "Oh no, I don't need anything." But one time, rather playfully, she said, "Oh yes, I would like an opal ring and a piping bullfinch." And he was a bit taken aback by that. He thought, "Where on earth am I going to get an opal ring and a piping bullfinch?" And it became a sort of a running joke between the two of them. But then some months later, one Thursday evening, he came home from church with a beaming smile on his face and a small box in his hand. And he opened the box and there was a ring. And he placed that ring on her finger and said, "There is your opal ring, my darling." And she was amazed. Apparently an elderly lady whom Spurgeon had once visited had become ill and sent a note to the church secretary asking if he would pass this opal ring on to Mrs. Spurgeon as a gift. And so he did, and Susanna Spurgeon later wrote, "How we talked of the Lord's tender love for his stricken child and of his condescension in thus stooping to supply an unnecessary gratification to his dear servant's sick one. I can remember feeling that the Lord was very near to us." Just that little token of God's kindness, the way he'd heard that, even though it hadn't even been expressed as such, and yet he answered that. But that wasn't all, because it wasn't long after that Spurgeon came home with a much larger parcel. And as he opened it, he reveals to Mrs. Spurgeon a piping bullfinch. His wife was astonished. However, had he come by one of those? Well, he told her about a couple that he had visited recently, and the husband was very close to death, and he prayed with them. And afterwards, the lady of the home had asked if he would take this bird and give it to his wife as a gift. She said, "I would give him to no one else but Mrs. Spurgeon. His songs are too much for my poor husband at the moment in his weak state, and I know that Bully," that was the name of this bird, "I know that Bully will interest and amuse Mrs. Spurgeon while you are away from her on your travels." And apparently Mrs. Spurgeon received that gift with tears in her eyes, and later she wrote, "Bully's sweet little life and ministry ended at Brighton, but the memory of the Lord's tenderness in giving him to me is a lifelong treasure, and the opal ring glistens on my finger even as I write this paragraph." You see, the Lord cares. He cares for his suffering and afflicted people. Susanna Spurgeon knew that. Peter knew that. Peter had his own opal ring moments that he could point to. And so he says here to these people, come to him. Call upon him. Cast your burdens upon him in the midst of your suffering, because he does. He cares for you.